This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. If you are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hannah, you did that well when the microphone went out. After all, this building was built before there were microphones. So you did that very well. Let us pray. Living God, will you now give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds that are sharp, and wills that will obey. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When Justin Kim asked if I would substitute for Andrea Tischer, who was scheduled to preach today, and when he asked that I preach on prayer, a number of prayer texts immediately came to my mind. Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses in which I've been living the last year. This prayer in which Moses prays amazing requests in the face of death. Ephesians 1 and 3, where the Apostle Paul prays, gripped by the extravagant grace of God in Jesus. John 17, the most sacred text in Scripture, where Jesus, before going to the cross, prays his heart out for his disciples. And the prayer Jesus teaches us disciples to pray, the so-called Lord's Prayer, recorded by Matthew, the tax collector turned evangelist. Of all those texts, it was the Lord's Prayer that pulled most at my soul. And in particular, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I know that Paul Stevens preached the Lord's Prayer just 2 weeks ago here, asking the question, why pray when God already knows what we need? And, of course, I know that I've written a book on the Lord's Prayer, 57 Words That Changed the World, based on a series of sermons I preached here in 2002 on another occasion when I was the substitute preacher. Yet of all those possible texts that I could preach this morning, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer pulls at my soul the strongest. I think this is the case because I have come to understand the petition at deeper levels than what I have written in my book. I still stand with what is in the book, but now I understand this petition much better. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you may have noticed that each time I cited the first petition, I included the phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. The phrase is usually only associated with the third petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why then have I attached it to the first petition? Because The phrase is the center of the Lord's Prayer. The whole prayer revolves around on earth as it is in heaven. Literally, the text reads, as in heaven, so also in earth. And I think it goes with all of the petitions of the prayer, with the three that come before the center and the three that follow the center. Thus, the prayer goes like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors on earth as it is in heaven. And do not lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one on earth as it is in heaven. I think that the phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, captures the passion of Jesus' ministry. Everything he does to bring the life of heaven to earth. What was his first proclamation before his famous Sermon on the Mount, in which he teaches the prayer? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Turn around, for the reign of heaven is breaking in upon the earth. And how does he begin most of his parables? The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus' great passion, which is the passion of his Father, is to bring heaven down, to bring the life of heaven down into the life of earth. Which is why I have concluded that praying the Lord's Prayer is probably the most revolutionary thing disciples of Jesus can do at this time in history. For to pray the Lord's Prayer is to participate in a massive invasion, the invasion of the earth by heaven. And therefore, to pray the Lord's Prayer is to participate in the radical transformation of the world. I have this picture of all the disciples in this city, all the members of this church and members of other churches, going about our daily activities and responsibilities, quietly praying on earth as it is in heaven. Can you imagine what would happen? Will you say those words out loud with me right now? On earth as it is in heaven. Again, please. On earth as it is in heaven. I was making my way to a doctor's appointment the other day, traveling on the SkyTrain and then the 99B. Standing in the aisle, I prayed under my breath, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. And I looked at my fellow travelers, most of them plugged into their iPhones, and I felt for each of them a gentle tenderness. And I think I could even hear the longings of many of their hearts. And that physical space seemed to change, first in the SkyTrain car and then on the bus. The space became a sanctuary. A sweet holiness seemed to descend. In fact, it even began to shine on some of the fellow travelers. It was a delicious moment on earth as it is in heaven. Over the past years, I've wondered if the phrase at the center of the praise, at the center of the prayer, might not signal another way to understand the prayer. I wonder if Jesus has structured the prayer in a parallelism, more specifically in a chiasm. It should be on the screen behind you. Chiasm is an inverted V. You have kingdom, name, kingdom, will, on earth as it is in heaven, bread, forgiveness, and temptation. If this is the case, then name and temptation go together, kingdom and forgiveness go together, and will and bread go together. If this is the case, then Jesus is saying temptation is all about the name of the Father, the evil one seeking to distort the name, to distort the nature and character of God. And Jesus then would be saying the kingdom of heaven is all about relationships, restoring strained and broken relationships through the power of his forgiving grace. And Jesus would then be saying that the will of the Father is all about making it possible for human beings to live sustained and productive lives, and all of it on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. It is the first petition suggesting it is foundational to all the others. Now, why is it the first? I have lived most of my life as though the foundational petition was the second. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, how I love to pray that prayer. But it is the second. One comes before it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when focusing on just one petition of the prayer, it's important to keep in mind a number of observations about the prayer as a whole. In particular, five observations. I'm going to make these five observations and then come back and zero in on the first petition. The five observations are the teacher of the prayer, the embrace of the prayer, the flow of the prayer, the verbs of the prayer, and the gospel of the prayer. Observation one, the teacher of the prayer, Jesus of Nazareth, the only one who could possibly teach such a prayer. Why? Because he is the Son of Mary and of God. The teacher of the prayer, Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of God. That is, fully human, fully God. The teacher of this prayer is fully human and fully God. As Son of Mary, he is like Mary, fully human, and therefore knows all about life on earth. He knows what it means to be human in a broken, confused, and twisted world. He knows what it means to pray as a human being. The writer of Hebrews especially noticed this, Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 8. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. As the Son of Mary, Jesus knows what we need in order to live. As he says just before teaching the prayer, the Father knows what you need before you ask. Well, so does the Son. Because he is fully human, he knows what we need. As the Son of God, he is like God, fully God, which means he knows the heart and mind of God. He lives in the Father's heart. He is sent from the Father's heart. He knows what pleases the Father. He knows the Father's passion. And in the Lord's Prayer, the Son of the Father is giving us his revelation of his Father. It is as though Jesus is saying, listen, I know the Father. I know what is on the Father's heart and mind. The hallowing of his name, the bringing of his kingdom, the doing of his will, providing for his children's need, forgiving his children's sins and freeing them to forgive the sins of their sisters and brothers, and delivering his children from the seductive schemes of evil. As Son of Mary, Son of God, Jesus knows firsthand our true needs and the Father's deepest desires, and in his prayer, he brings them together. Who else but he could do that? Observation two, the embrace of the prayer. In my book, I use the word scope. I now prefer the word embrace. It's a more dynamic way of putting it, and certainly more relational and more personal, suggesting that in his prayer, Jesus is gathering up all our human concerns and lifting them to the Father. In his prayer, he embraces everything imaginable. Name any need you have, and it is covered in this prayer. Name any issue you face, and it is addressed in this prayer. Jesus embraces all of time, the past, forgive us our debts, the present, give us this day our daily bread, the future, lead us not into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Jesus' prayer embraces all the dimensions of our humanity, physical, this day our daily bread, relational, as we forgive others, emotional and psychological, deliver us from evil's deception and the twisting of our true identity, and political, your kingdom come. Yes, Father, bring your kingdom, Your kingdom of true justice and true freedom and authentic community and wholeness. Name any need, concern, fear, or desire you have, and you will find it embraced in this prayer. The whole of life is taken up into the heart of the triune God. Observation 3, the flow of the prayer. As I said earlier, there are 6 petitions. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, the prayer seems to flow in 2 movements or 2 halves. The first half, name, kingdom, will. The second half, bread, forgiveness, guidance, deliverance. And the 2 halves are signaled by the pronouns. I'm sure you've noticed this. First half, your. Second half, us, our, us, we, us, us. The point of the flow, a prioritizing of our needs. Your, then us, us, us. Yes, we need bread, right? Yes, we need forgiveness and to forgive, right? Yes, we need guidance and deliverance, right? But we have much greater needs. We do? Yes, we do. We need name, kingdom, and will. We need for the Father's name to be hallowed in us and in the world. We need for the Father's kingdom to come in us and in the world. We need for the Father's goodwill to be done in us and in the world. Yes, we will experience a degree of human flourishing when we have our daily bread, when our sins are forgiven and we forgive those who sin against us, when we are guided on the path of life and protected from evil. But Jesus is telling us we can have all of that and not yet experience full human flourishing. We will finally be fully human, fully alive, in the words of John Powell, when our Father's name is hallowed in us and in the world, when our Father's kingdom takes over our kingdoms and the kingdoms of this world, and when our Father's good pleasure is done in our wills and in the will of the world. Your before us, because more crucial than the us request are the your request. Now, it turns out when you focus on the your request, the us requests are put into perspective. Things can change overnight, actually, when we live into the flow of the prayer, and especially when we live into the first petition. Our Father in heaven, your name be hallowed on earth as it is in heaven. Observation 4, the verbs of the prayer. And here's where things get very exciting for me. Some of you who were here in 2002 will remember immediately, right, what I said. This is very exciting. Particularly, the verbs that we find in the your half of the prayer. Be hallowed, come, be done. Very bold verbs. In the original, the verbs come first in the sentence for emphasis. So, not your name be hallowed, but be hallowed your name. Not your kingdom come, but come your kingdom. Not your will be done, but be done your will. The verbs come first. Now, there are 2 things we need to know about these verbs. First, they are in the imperative mood, and they, second, are in the passive voice. Imperative mood and passive voice. Remember the emphasis of the imperative mood? What is it?
It's a command.
Command. Especially in the Greek language, the language of Matthew 6. The imperative mood is the mood of command. Do this, do that, come, go, stop, imperative. Now, in the Greek language, one never uses the imperative when addressing a superior. Never. You would never go into the emperor's office and start speaking with the imperative. Fix this, fix that, build this, build that, cancel that tax, and cancel that tax, and correct those problematic tariffs. Never would the imperative mood be used in addressing a superior. Never. Well, well, well. Surprise, surprise, surprise. In the Lord's Prayer, we are addressing a superior, are we not? The superior of superiors, our Father in heaven, meaning our Father sitting on the throne of the universe. Superior of superiors. There is no one more superior. And Jesus tells us to enter his presence and start using the imperative. Be hallowed. Come. Be done. All imperative. Holy moly. Or, oh my. We are not just asking. We are commanding. Be. Come. Do. Be hallowed. Come. Be done. Be hallowed your name. Come your kingdom. Be done your will. Now remember, who teaches us to pray like this? It's Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, who knows the Father. He knows what pleases the Father. And he's telling us that the Father invites us to come into his presence and use the imperative. Jesus is telling us that the Father wants his children to pray that boldly. Do it, Father! To which I quickly add, please. Imperative mood and passive voice. Why the passive? I think to bring in a note of reverence. It kind of softens the sense of ordering God around, but mostly because only God can do it. This is critical. Only God can hallow God's name. Only God can bring God's kingdom. Only God can do God's will. Which means the prayer is not what we tend to make it, or what I tend to make it. The prayer is not, let us hallow your name. Let us bring your kingdom. Let us do your will. Because we are not the ones to do it. We are not the subject of the verbs. That was worth the price of admission right there. We are not the subject of the verbs. The Father is the subject of the verbs because only the Father can do it. So the prayer is, Father, you do it. You hallow your name on earth as it is in heaven. You bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You do your will on earth as it is in heaven. We must resist this urge to horizontalize the vertical, to take upon our shoulders burdens that were never ours to carry. The Father is the subject of the verbs, not we, because as philosopher Dallas Willard reminded us, there are no human answers to human problems. There are ultimately no human solutions to the human predicament. That's the crisis of the human predicament. There are no human solutions. There are only divine solutions. Only God can save. So the Savior teaches us to pray, Father, right now, your name is being hallowed in heaven. Hallow it on earth. Father, right now, your kingdom is being realized in heaven. Realize it on the earth. Father, right now, your will is being done in heaven. Do it on the earth. Father, you do it because only you can do it. And especially the first petition, hallow your name on earth as it is in heaven. Teacher of the prayer, embrace of the prayer, flow of the prayer, verbs of the prayer, then observation 5, the gospel in the prayer. Our, oh mercy, our Father. The Father that Jesus loves and trusts and knows, the Father with whom Jesus has lived for all eternity, that Father, our. The opening line of the prayer preaches the gospel. Because of what the Father has done in sending his Son, the Father of the Son is now our Father. Oh, do not lose touch with that wonder. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ has become our Father too. The Apostle John would later write with great joy, see what great love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Jesus, the only natural Son, comes to heaven to bring us into his relationship with his Father so that we can learn to know and love and trust the Father the way he does. And he makes this possible by sending the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, as Paul calls him, who enables us to then pray to Jesus Father the way Jesus does, Abba, oh dear Dad. Here's the gospel in the prayer. The teacher of the prayer wants us to know the infinitely good and generous and gracious Father. And the Father so wants this for us, he sends his Son from heaven to earth to make it all possible. Now, we can zero in on the first petition. Our Father in heaven, be hallowed your name on earth as it is in heaven. By putting this petition first, I think Jesus is telling us this is our greatest need. This. It is? Be hallowed your name. Name is a way of saying nature and character. In the first century, if you knew a person's name, you knew a person's nature and character. And Jesus is saying the Father wants us and the world to know his name, to know his nature and character. This is why Jesus teaches his parables, as I said earlier. Through them, Jesus is revealing the Father's nature and character. This is what Jesus is doing in all his deeds of mercy and healing. He's revealing the Father's nature and character. This is what Jesus himself prays for in John 17. Father, I have made your name known. Father, I will make your name known. Jesus wants the world to know the nature and character of the Father, a Father none of us would have ever dreamed up, a Father like no other. Put more simply, name is a way of saying self. Name is a way of saying this is who I am. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be yourself. Or more simply, hallowed be you. Now, hallowed. Boy, it is hard to render the meaning of this word in one English word. Hagiazdo in the Greek, it's related to the word hagios for holy. Now, as I've been digging deeper in this first petition, I've learned that there are three levels of meaning to the word hallowed. Three nuances. They are treat, include, eliminate. To hallow is to treat. To hallow is to include. And to hallow is to eliminate. So first level of meaning, treat. To hallow is to treat something as sacred, as holy. To treat something as of ultimate concern and importance. So the first petition is, Father, so work in me that your name is of greatest importance to me. Father, so work on the earth that your name is the greatest importance on earth as it is in heaven. It's a huge request for a huge transformation. Can you imagine? Again, the prayer is not, let us treat your name as of great importance. That's a good thing to want to do. It's just that we cannot do it. I cannot do it. I'm too egocentric. I'm too self-absorbed. But the Father can. The Father can reorient my disoriented soul. Father, work a reorientation in my soul so that your name is of the most important, it's the greatest importance in my life. Wow. Tim Keller reminds us that something or someone is going to be hallowed in each of our lives. In every human life, something or someone is going to be treated as of ultimate importance. Family, money, fame, marriage, self-esteem, nation. It happens to us all. And, says Keller, it determines everything about us. What is hallowed in my soul will determine everything else about me. Oh, Father, please hallow your name in me. So work in me that you are hallowed in my life, that you are what my soul treats as of first importance. Are we surprised this is the first petition given the first commandment? The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, or better, you shall have no other gods between me and you. First commandment, God will be God of my life. First petition, God make it so. Again, it's a huge request. It's a request for a massive miracle. It's a request for a radical revolution involving radical heart surgery. Indeed, it involves brain surgery, literally rewiring the brain. It involves the healing of emotions, rearranging the architecture of our inner being, as the way Talia Luhmann puts it. Biblical scholar Dale Bruner suggests that we paraphrase the prayer, be the center. Father, be the center. Come and reorder all the disorder of my soul so that my soul revolves around the true center of all things. Wow. Second level of meaning, include. To hallow is to include another in the inner circle. To include another in the inner circle of the holy. This is how Jesus uses the prayer in John 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Same verb as the Lord's Prayer. Hallow them in the truth. Yes, help them know the truth, but more. Include them in the truth, in you who are the truth. Now, this is the way the verb is used in other parts of the New Testament. In Ephesians, Paul says that Christ sanctifies the church. 5:26. Christ hallows the church, cleansing the church by including the church in his cleanness. We are made clean by being included in his clean. In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the effect that a believing spouse has on the not yet believing spouse. 7:14. The not yet believing one is sanctified by the believing one, hallowed by the believing partner, brought into the orb of holiness, even if he or she is not aware of it. Oh, Father, dear Dad, include me in the inner circle of your name. Include me in your holiness. Include me in your power. Include me in your light. Include me in your wisdom. Bring me into all that your name means on earth as you have done for those in heaven. Wow. Bring it on. So third level of meaning, eliminate. To hallow is to eliminate. To eliminate all in me that is incompatible with the name. This is the meaning that we get from the root meaning of holy, separate or other than. Father, take away all in me that does not square with your name. Take away all in me that does not square with your nature and character. Take away all in me that does not square with who you are. In his letter to the Romans, Paul uses it in this way. Romans 15:16. God called me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering to the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Hallowed by the hallowing spirit. All that is not holy in it being eliminated. As I can see the end coming, I am praying that more and more. Will you take all the ministry I've offered over all these years and clean it up so that it's a perfect gift can offer you? That's what Jesus did when he went into the temple. He came in and he got rid of everything in the church that does not belong there. Father, please eliminate from my heart and mind all that is not in sync with me, with you. Eliminate all the wrong, distorted, twisted ideas and images I have of you. And will you eliminate all the wrong and twisted, distorted images I have of what it means to be in your image so that I might become all you want me to be? First petition, three levels of meaning. So reorder my heart that your name is treated as of ultimate importance. Include me in all your name means and eliminate from me all that is not of your name. Our Father in heaven, hallow your name on earth as it is in heaven. Father, do it because only you can. Now, why is this the first petition? Because the Father is an egocentric narcissist? No. It's the first petition because our wholeness is at stake. What is hallowed in our hearts determines everything else about us. Abba, Father, our Father, my Father, will you so hallow your name in me that you shape everything about me? Do you see why I said at the beginning? that the first petition of the Lord's prayers would pull strongest at my soul. For when the Father of the Lord Jesus answers this prayer, everything else falls into place. When our souls are reordered, of course we pray for the Father's kingdom to come in fullness. And of course we pray that the Father's will be done in everyone, everywhere. Father, do it, please, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Now, friends, will you rise with benediction? So 14 months ago, my wife sent me a prayer that I could pray over the church, and it's a doxology that's found in the book of Jude, and it came to mind as Daryl was preaching. It seemed fitting and appropriate. And it goes something like this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, be majesty, dominion, and authority. Be hallowed your name. Be hallowed your name. Be hallowed your name before all time and now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. For more sermons and information about our church's services and programs, please visit firstbc.org.